His footsteps failed to crunch on the gravel as he approached. Though he knew that he must fail at the door, he nevertheless could not but go there first, to try if he could open it. And only then, hidden within the shadows of the porch, would he close his eyes and let himself slip ashamedly through it. He stepped up to the door and stopped. It was open. Just half an inch, but it was open. His spirit fluttered in fearful surprise. How could it be open? Mrs. Bennet was always so conscientious about such things. He stood uncertainly for a moment, and then with difficulty exerted himself against the door. Under the little pressure he could bring to bear on it, it swung slowly and unwillingly open, its hinges groaning in protest. He stepped through and slipped along the stone-flagged hallway. A wide staircase led up into the darkness, but the doors that led off from the hallway all stood closed. The nearest door led into the drawing-room, in which the fire was burning, and from which he could hear the muted car chases of the late movie. He struggled futilely for a moment or two with its shiny brass doorknob, but was forced in the end to admit a humiliating defeat, and with a sudden rage flung himself straight at the door and through it. The room inside was a picture of pleasant domestic warmth. He staggered violently into it and was unable to stop himself, floating on through a small occasional table set with thick sandwiches and a thermos flask of hot coffee, through a large overstuffed armchair, into the fire, through the thick hot brickwork, and into the cold dark dining room beyond. The connecting door back into the sitting room was also closed. Gordon fingered it numbly and then, submitting himself to the inevitable, braced himself and slid back through it, calmly, gently, noticing for the first time the rich internal grain of the wood. The coziness of the room was almost too much for Gordon, and he wandered distractedly around it, unable to settle, letting the warm liveliness of the firelight play through him. Him it couldn't warm. What, he wondered, were ghosts supposed to do all night? He sat uneasily and watched the television. Soon, however, the car chases drifted peacefully to a close, and there was nothing left but grey snow and white noise, which he was unable to turn off. He found he'd sunk too far into the chair and confused himself with bits of it as he pushed and pulled himself up. He tried to amuse himself by standing in the middle of a table, but it did little to alleviate a mood that was sliding inexorably from despondency downwards. Perhaps he would sleep. Perhaps. He felt no tiredness or drowsiness, but just a deadly craving for oblivion. He passed back through the closed door and into the dark hallway, from which the wide, heavy stairs led to the large, gloomy bedrooms above. Up these, emptily, he trod.